Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today recounts some of our Lord Jesus' words toward the end of his earthly ministry. He speaks about the end of the world and about the need for people to be ready for when that last day of the world comes. He makes a comparison to the time of Noah and the flood that destroyed all life on the earth except for those people and animals that God, whose lives God had spared in the ark that God had instructed Noah to build. Just as in that time, the people were going on with their normal course of life, and then the waters of the flood came upon the whole earth in an instant, very suddenly when the people did not expect it, even though they had great warning in advance over the long span of time that it took for Noah to build the ark. But Jesus makes that comparison also to the timing of the last day when he returns. That it will be for so many people, for all of us, business as usual in people's lives. But then the trumpet call of God will sound that heralds the return of Jesus, and then, in that instant, all earthly life as we know it will cease. The normal order of day-to-day living will come to an end. And Jesus says, if we had known about that hour when that would happen, when his return would take place, just like a homeowner would prepare for a burglar to come if he had known at what time the burglar was planning to come and burgle him. Well, in the same way, if we knew about the exact hour when Jesus is planning to return, then we would be specially prepared to be ready and be waiting at just that moment when Jesus comes back. But he says, you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. And so, he says, be alert, be ready, for the Son of Man, a term that he uses to refer to himself. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect him. Yes, Jesus will come back when it's business as usual. If you've ever read the Screwtape Letters by the famous British Christian author of the 1900s, C.S. Lewis, you know that he depicts in his imagination kind of a discussion, a correspondence, a series of letters back and forth between a senior, experienced demon giving advice to his nephew, who is a less experienced tempter. And so we can imagine, as C.S. Lewis does, if there was such a circumstance in hell, it probably doesn't happen like that, but we can imagine a discussion among the demons about what are the best ways to tempt people not to believe in God or to fall away from faith in God and in Jesus. And so one demon, we can imagine, says, well, I will go to the earth and tell everyone that the Bible is not true. It's a myth. And another demon says, I will go to earth and tell people that there is no God, no Savior. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no hell. How wonderful that would be. But another demon says, no, we must be more clever than that. People won't quite believe those lines. Why not rather tell people that all those things are true? There is God in heaven and hell. But let's tell them, let's convince them that there really is no hurry. There's really nothing to be worried about. After all, Judgment Day hasn't come for thousands of years of this world's existence. And so it's most likely not going to come in the next 5 minutes or the next 5 days or weeks or years of your life. Probably not even during your lifetime at all. So take your time. Relax. And if there was such a council in hell, such deliberation among the demons, well, as we observe the world around us and our own lives and hearts as well, it seems very much that the latter plan for tempting people is what has won the day among the demons and the tempters. That advice, of course, take your time, relax, take it easy. Jesus will not return anytime soon. That advice is the exact opposite of the words of Jesus, our Savior, to us in our reading today from Matthew chapter 24, where he says, be alert. Understand this. Be ready. Think about if you're hosting a gathering at your home for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, some other occasion, you're preparing food for a number of guests who will arrive. You will be much better prepared, much more ready for the arrival of those guests if you are tending to the food, making sure that it will be ready on time, instead of just standing by the front window and watching and waiting for everyone to arrive. Well, then you'll be ready to greet them right when they step out of their car and come to your door, but you may not have everything else ready, the food prepared for hosting them. And so similarly, we, in the words of the hymn of the day that called to mind Jesus' parable about the 10 virgins who were waiting for the bridegroom to come, just in the next chapter of Matthew's gospel, they were all waiting. But some of them were not prepared. They had not prepared enough oil for their lamps to keep their lamps burning until the time that the bridegroom came late at night. But others of them were indeed prepared, having wisely prepared enough oil to keep their lamps lit and burning at whatever time the bridegroom arrived, even late into the night. And so we cannot always be looking up into the sky as the disciples did after Jesus ascended into heaven and waiting, just standing there watching and waiting for the appearance of Jesus our Savior coming back down from the sky. But it is possible for us to be prepared always and to be ready and waiting for his return. Right now, as you are listening to this sermon, there are people outside this church building watching, ready, waiting for things that are about to happen. Police officers, highway patrol, they're keeping an eye on traffic and public safety. Nurses are watching, taking care of patients in intensive care units and hospitals. Firefighters are waiting for an alarm to sound and for an emergency for them to go and help in time of need, as are EMTs and other first responders, ready and waiting for the call to respond and to give aid. And think about when those who are supposed to be watching and waiting fail in some important duties. An overworked and overtired air traffic controller has a lapse in his awareness, and two planes collide mid-air, resulting in hundreds of fatalities. Or a bus driver drifts to sleep and the bus veers off the road and dozens of children are injured in a car crash. But how much more crucial it is to watch for the safety of your own soul. Are you prepared? Is your soul ready for the coming of the Son of Man, for the return of Jesus, our Savior? And when he appears, what will his verdict be on your life? Imagine that your time has come, not just the last day of the world, but at whatever time God has prepared for each one of us, he tells us that our soul will return to him even as our body is buried or is cremated or otherwise disposed of. Now you are in the presence of God. And then think about what might be said about you at your funeral or by others who knew about your death. If you've ever read or seen a play or movie production of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, maybe remember the scene after Scrooge dies, and there are some people talking about him. And if you recall from his life, he was called Scrooge because he was a miser. He was not at all generous or kind or caring about others. And so those people who were talking about him after he had died, and he is transported to be able to overhear that conversation. They said that, well, they don't know about anyone who would go to his funeral because no one really liked him much. He had no one who was really good friends with him. But one of them says then, well, I will go to his funeral if there is a free lunch afterward. What would people say about you after your death? Are you ready? Our Lord Jesus says, when that day and hour will be, no one knows. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So be alert, Jesus says. Advice given to Christian preachers, to pastors, is that a pastor is always to preach as a dying man to dying people. But I don't want to use scare tactics today. You and I, as baptized children of God, redeemed, bought by the precious blood of Jesus, and called to faith in him as our Savior, we are now living in grace. In the mercy and love and care of our Heavenly Father, we are his children now. We're not on the brink of falling away from faith and falling into hell, but the sober, somber words of our Lord Jesus do apply to us also, just as they did to the people of Noah's day and just as they did to Jesus' hearers of his words originally here in Matthew chapter 24. And so how do we then live with a spirit of proper preparation, always being ready for his return? Well, first of all, we should live in the present tense. Live each day for itself. Look back on your life this past week. For most of you, your life right now may be on a fairly level road. But we all know that that could change drastically tomorrow, or even later on today. Some unimaginable challenge may meet you within the next day or two. And if it does, what will you do then? It may be a totally unexpected illness or injury or some other physical tragedy. Maybe a calamity in your family relationships, in your business. Maybe a loneliness or a desperation, the likes of which you have never experienced before in your life. You may even meet death itself. Sickness, calamity, loneliness, desperation, and death, they are all inevitable. What will you do? How will you get ready? Your best preparation is to give attention to today. Trust in the very Lord who said these words of our text to you for every passing moment of your life. What means the most to you in life? What responsibility is primary in your life right now? What is your immediate problem? Right here and now, trust in God. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Fill this present moment with the holy faith that he has given you through his Holy Spirit by his word and sacraments, with a power that his Holy Spirit alone gives through those means of grace, and then prepare by that word of God, by that good news of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus your Savior, prepare for the challenges and the changes that will surely come in the future, which you may not even be able to foresee, but that you need not fear to see. In the little things of your life today, prepare for the big emergencies of tomorrow. On the ordinary road that you travel right now, get ready for the mountain that you will have to climb tomorrow. In the green pastures and by the still waters today, gird yourself for the valley of the shadow of death. When you immerse yourself in the means of grace, God's holy word and his sacraments, when you live in the Lord in faith in Jesus your Savior, then when you reach those mountains of challenge, the valleys of shadow, the emergencies that come in life, then you will be God-possessed. He will dwell in you, and you will dwell in him. Put your trust in the Lord, and you will know how to live in the present. Live by his grace in the present, and then the future will not frighten you. A Christian always interprets God's word in the light of God's word. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. And these words of our Lord Jesus here are related to all of his teaching, to all of his word in the Bible. And there throughout the Bible, as we study all of everything that he says to us about preparation for his return, we see our life of preparation as being one not filled with fear and living each day trembling with terror at his return, but instead we see our lives as being lived with hope, full confidence in him. For his word says, perfect love drives out fear. And so as Christians, we don't live overwhelmed with anxiety because we know that our redemption is assured through Jesus our Savior because of his death on the cross in our place and his resurrection from the dead, which proves his victory over sin and death and hell. And so we live in hope. Not in the way that we normally use the word hope today in our everyday speech. Oh, I hope this or that will happen. I'm not really sure, but I wish that it will. No, we Christians live with hope, with sure confidence that we will be saved because God tells us that through faith in Jesus, we are saved. And so in the biblical sense of the word hope, we live in confidence and certainty of life, eternal life in the Lord that has already begun through faith in Jesus our Savior. And with this certainty, we have an attitude about life and death that is totally unlike other people in the world around us who do not have this same hope in Jesus through faith. Knowing that we are going to die someday unless Jesus returns first while we are still living, we can live with a zest and vividness because we know that, yes, we will not pass this way again. We approach life's daily tasks with kind of fantastic satisfaction, but also of somewhat detachment, not being all wrapped up in the things of this life all at the same time, because we know that Jesus is the source of true life for us now and for the life to come, for all eternity. And so we heed the words of the prophet Isaiah when he calls in chapter 55 of his book of prophecy, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." And then God's promise will be fulfilled in us when Isaiah says in chapter 40, "Those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint." And the words of our Lord Jesus in these last days of our ministry that we read about in Matthew chapter 24 and then later on in chapter 25 will also ring in our ears, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take the inheritance of the kingdom that is prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. And well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Someday, God assures us, he will call us to be with him. And he doesn't tell us when that will be, how soon it will be, but he does tell us that one day either Jesus will come back while we are still living, or he will usher us through that doorway called death to be in his presence. But either way, he says, do not be afraid, because on the other side of that threshold is life, perfect, eternal life with me. I will take you by the hand, and I will lead you across, and then you will see me face to face. And meanwhile, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Yes, death could come for us at any time. Jesus could return on the last day in judgment at any time. And the question that you and I have to answer this first Sunday in Advent and every day of our life until Christ calls us is a very clear one. Here it is. How will you answer it? Are you ready? Thank God that by his grace through Jesus our Savior, we can confidently answer yes. And so we live in hope, not in fear. Amen.